All right, this morning we want to go on with our theme, and our theme for this year is? The theme for this year is? Try it one more time. Theme for this year is? There we are. We're going to start. And so we've been talking about our spiritual journey is a series of starts. God told Moses to record their journeys from Egypt to Canaan land. And he said, record it according to their starting points. And so we are on our spiritual journey. And your spiritual journey consists of a series of starts. And so I want you to start. I want you to start doing some things that you haven't done before. The last 2 weeks we've been talking about start praising. Start praising God in the service and privately. And so as you know, we talked about if you're going to be a praiser, if you're going to be a worshiper, you need to do it in spirit and in truth. So just being here in a worship time doesn't mean you're a worshiper. Just singing the songs won't mean that you're a worshiper. You can worship with your mouth and your heart, be far from it. But we were sharing last few weeks that if we're going to start praising, then we need to start, it originates in our spirit. What we know in our spirit, what we know about God, what our spirit stirs us, that it percolates up through our emotions, out through our mind to an outward expression. And so we want to praise God. I hope that in our worship time this morning, as we were singing, you were starting to praise. Some of you that maybe was more of an observer in the past, I encourage you to start praising. And then we talked last week about praising personally. It's not just in the service times, but God wants us to praise him continually. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works. And so that's our thrust. And again, it's the same way. Start in your spirit and constantly throughout the day, thank God for all the good things, the things you enjoy, things that you wouldn't necessarily relate to the Lord in the past. But just thank the Lord for air conditioning. Thank the Lord for chairs. You were here last week, you'll know what we're talking about. Just thank the Lord for everything. Let a continual praise come out of your mouth. So my encouragement to you was start praising. Initiate it. Start doing it. Today we want to go on, and it's sort of part of this, and it's something that if you had told me at the beginning of the year when we talked about starting things, I probably wouldn't have said this was on the list, but this past week as I was just waiting on the Lord what to share this morning, this is what came to my heart, and I hope you picked up a fill-in sheet. You can follow along with us. You need to start prophesying. Start prophesying. Now, I know that's a new thought for some of you. Your concept of prophecy is such that, well, I don't start that. God starts that. I mean, I'm either gifted for it or I'm not. But I hope by the end of this service, you'll have a new sense and a new desire to start prophesying. We normally don't think that way. I've, for years, never thought that way, to start prophesying. That I have something to do with it. I have an initiative to take. And so let's launch into this. What is prophecy? What is prophecy? Well, you could have different pictures in your mind. If you were raised in more of an evangelical church, and they'll talk about prophecy being the preaching of God's word. And that is a form of prophecy. If you grew up in a church like I did, I say this respectfully, a wild and woolly Pentecostal church. I grew up in Hamilton. There was prophetic words. People would speak out prophetic words, and there was all kinds of expressions. And there was people that were prophets, known as prophets in the church, that would speak and so forth. And so it was much more like spontaneous, speaking out in a service, prophetic words. And so I don't know what picture you have of prophecy in your mind, but we want to look at the Word of God this morning. I thought that I was going to get through this whole message, but the first service showed me I'm only going to speak half this message today. And so I hope it's sort of the same ending spot so we can pick up next week. We'll see how it goes. But here's the first. What is prophecy? Prophecy is a message from God spoken through the voice of a believer to others. It can be foretelling or forthtelling. A lot of times we think of prophetic words as always telling the future. So when we say, I want to get a word from the Lord, he's going to tell me about our future. And that is true. They say 33% of the Bible is prophetic. And it speaks about what's going to happen in the future. And so it is a major part of what God wants to say to us. He foretells things that's going to happen. But it's also a forthtelling, that I'm just speaking forth what God is saying. He has a message for someone that you're meeting with. Might be in the service, might be after the service, might be through a prayer time, might be over a coffee. God wants to say something to someone. So the very basic form of prophecy is that God has a message for someone. He gives it to you that he wants you to speak it to the other person. That's a prophetic word. That's saying forth something. It might be sharing a principle from God's word. It might be an encouragement in some way. And that is a form of prophecy. We're going to see here as we get into this message, there's different certain degrees of prophecy in God's word. But the very basic form is that you're speaking a word to someone else that God wants them to hear. Now, 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So again, this is not just your own idea. I think I'll tell the person this. This is something that is spiritual. It's a spiritual gift. It comes inside of you. It's like praise, like I said. It originates in your spirit. What you know in your spirit, you're to praise outwardly. So what you know in your spirit, when God prompts you and you're feeling as you're in conversation with someone or you're in some kind of situation or circumstance and you feel something in your spirit that this needs to be spoken, then the Holy Spirit is moving within you. And you know what you need to do at that point? Start prophesying. Start prophesying. Open your mouth and speak it out, because that is what God wants you to do. Holy men, holy women, people that are sanctified by God's presence. Not that you have to be worthy or good enough to do this. God sanctifies us. Not that you've earned the right to hear God. No, he uses us all. But if you're willing, just like you need to be willing to praise, you need to be willing to prophesy, and even more so, desire it. Now, let's move on to the next point. There is a special exhortation to prophesy. A special exhortation to prophesy. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love. Well, yeah, we're Christians. Need to pursue love. Love one another and all that that means. So pursue love, but then it goes on to say, and desire spiritual gifts. God's given you a power. When we are born again, he's put his presence within us. When he puts his presence within us, he's giving us spiritual gifts. So yes, we need to know that. I'm an instrument for God to use in spiritual gifts. But then it goes on and says, but especially that you may prophesy. So in other words, yes, pursue love. Have spiritual gifts. But you know what? The special thing is that you would prophesy. So that's why I say this is a special exhortation to prophesy. Because God says, especially, I want you to do this. This is not just something, by the way, a little fringe thing. You know, he says, no, especially that you prophesy. And then 1 Corinthians 14:39. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. So this is something that just I'm indifferent to, but you know what? Maybe God will prompt me. And if he does, you know, I'll know it and then I'll speak it. No, this is more than that. He says, this is something you should desire. This should be a yearning in your heart that I want to prophesy. What's prophecy? God's got messages for people. God wants to speak his word to people. You're rubbing shoulders with people all the time. God wants you to be the instrument to deliver his word to people. And so we need to desire earnestly, not just desire it half indifferently. No, earnestly. I mean, this is a driving force. This is something that stirs, that's pushing us, that's urging us forward. Earnestly desire to prophesy. So we're not to be passive, indifferent. But this is something we should be intent upon and focus upon. Now, this is so strong that at the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell out on everyone, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter stood up and he gave a message. He spoke for God to the people, and he spoke about a prophecy that had been spoken thousands of years before by the prophet Joel. And so it says, he's quoting Joel in Acts chapter 2, and he says this: in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. So do you see that one of the main characteristics of the birth of the church is now all of God's people filled with his spirit are going to have stirrings within them, promptings to speak God's words to other people. Is not just going to be limited, and we're going to get to this in a moment, that there's one person who's a prophet, and everybody's got to go to the prophet to get a word from the Lord. But now everyone's filled with the Spirit of God. Now everyone has the spirit of prophecy. He's stirring in everybody's heart. And one of the characteristics of the church, these people speak for God. They're oracles of God. See, the Bible says that we should be oracles for God. That every word we should speak as oracles of God. Not my idea, not my thought. This is what I think you should do. Passing an opinion on this and passing my opinion on that. And it's just my own thinking, half thought out, half baked. And I'm spewing this all. No, he said, we need to speak as oracles of God. You need to have a sense, Lord, when I open my mouth, I want to speak your word. Now, here's the thing. He's prompting you in your spirit, just like he's prompting you in your spirit to worship. But you got to get what's in your spirit, the joy of your spirit, out through your emotions, through your mind, expressing it with a raised hands, clapping of hands, singing, all the things we talked about in the last 2 weeks about worship and praise. I want you to see the same process happens when you prophesy. He's got something in your spirit. You're filled with the Spirit of God. He wants us to love one another and care for one another. And God wants to speak to people all the time. In fact, people are praying, oh God, I need to hear from you. Lord, would you speak to me today? How many non-Christians pray that? How many Christians pray that? Lord, I need to know what you're saying to me. And you're with them. God's Spirit may want to deliver his word through you if you're sensitive, not speaking of your own will, but you're sensitive to God, you're desiring to prophesy, you realize this is an important aspect of who I am as a Christian. So I want to be ready, and you're just listening for God's word that's prompting, and then you've got to start prophesying. You can hold it in. You can just stymie it right there in that moment. Or you can start prophesying and have a great delight and desire to do it. because I'm now expressing God's word to someone. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 14:31. For you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn, all may be encouraged. Now, this is speaking in the context of a local church where there's different people who want to speak God's word. And he says, you know what? Wait your turn. You can all prophesy. You can all have an opportunity. But it's going to be one by one. Let everything be done decently in order. Now, that's in the aspect of a church service. But you know, folks, the church operates not just 1 hour a week. The church is operating in the world 24/7. The gift of prophecy is not just to work in this building, but the gift of prophecy is to work in every interaction and relationship that you have. Be sensitive, desire to prophesy, earnestly desire it, be sensitive to it, and then start prophesying as he prompts you. Now, this is a new concept for some of you. Because as soon as I said start prophesying, because of your concept of prophecy, you're very careful. So, no. I wouldn't even deign to speak for God. I mean, if I speak for God, I got to be sure it's 100% that I'm speaking God's word, because he's going to judge me as a false prophet if I say anything wrong. And so we sort of rule ourselves out when prophecy. I'm talking about myself. I mean, start prophesying. What does that mean? I either have it or I don't. No, I'm just trying to show us there's degrees of levels of prophecy. And so I want you to see this is something you shouldn't rule yourself out. We all should desire to prophesy. And so let's dig into this a little deeper. And this will help many of you. The transition of prophecy through the Bible and through time. Prophecy has changed over time. Beginning in the Old Testament, the words came in their mouth. The words of God came in their mouth. Listen to Jeremiah. He's an Old Testament prophet. Here's how he starts in Jeremiah 1 verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. In the Old Testament, God's word came to their mouth. In other words, God didn't indwell them. God's spirit in the Old Testament came upon them. He came upon people, and he gave them a special gift that he'd put the words in their mouth. And it's almost like Jeremiah said, you know, the word of God was shut up in my, like a fire in my bones. Like it was just there. It was right there on his mouth. He wanted to speak the words of God. It didn't come to their spirit because they weren't born again. It came not necessarily to their mind, because the Bible talks about that many Old Testament prophets prophesied and they didn't understand what they were saying. The word came to their mouth. In fact, there was one, I can't remember, call his name right now, but there was one Old Testament prophet who stammered and stuttered in his natural language. But when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and the words were put in his mouth, he spoke freely. And so it was something that came upon men for particular times, for particular purposes. The Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and those men were known as prophets. And if you wanted to know the word of the Lord, you would go to a prophet, because you couldn't necessarily determine it yourself. You'd want to get a word from the Lord, you went to see a prophet. Kings went and talked to prophets. Tell us the word of the Lord. And so God would speak to the people through prophets. Now, as a result, this word was pure and 100% accurate. Because it didn't process through the person's being. The words were put in their mouth. And so they just spoke it out. Many times not understanding it. But they spoke the word of the Lord. And it was effective and powerful. And In that day, if a prophet that spoke this way and it didn't come about and it wasn't true, then you were to consider that person a false prophet. And in some places, they actually put them to death. So it was a very, they were very careful not to say, thus saith the Lord. There was true prophets and there were false prophets. Now listen to how it says in Jeremiah 14, 14. And the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my names. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their hearts. And so an Old Testament prophet had to be careful. There were false prophets. You were not to follow a prophet where their word did not come about. It was not true. And so you could just say, that's not a prophet, and you dismissed it. So that's how Old Testament prophecy functioned. But Jesus was a transition. He transitions prophecy. Because Jesus came as the Word manifest in the flesh. So when Jesus came, it wasn't just that the words were put in his mouth. The words came in his spirit. And Jesus said, I only speak the things I hear the Father say. His words were 100%. Because he was the living Word. Not just some words, but every word that Jesus spoke was prophetic. He was speaking for God. The transition happened in Jesus. Here's Matthew 11, 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. Up until the time of John the Baptist, this is how prophecy functioned. But since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God, a whole different aspect. The kingdom of God is God reigning in our hearts. He lives in the hearts and he rules over people. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. He came expressing it. He was God manifest in the flesh. And so he says in John 63, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Every word Jesus spoke was spirit, they were life, and they were pure and 100% accurate. Because God was manifesting himself through Jesus, and he was speaking words of life, every word out of his mouth. So are you tracking with me? Now let's go on a little further here. Present day prophecy. How does prophecy function today? Present day prophecy, the words come to our spirit. The words come to our spirit. We're after the order of Jesus. He's our older brother. Now we're born again. Now God's spirit dwells in our spirit. Now you don't have to go to a prophet. In fact, it says Old Testament prophecy, when this new time that comes, he said, you don't have to go to someone and say, know the Lord, know the Lord. Everyone will know me. No longer to hear the word of the Lord do you have to go and find a man who's a prophet. Now, as we already shared, now the Holy Spirit is poured upon on all flesh. Now we're all going to prophesy. Because God's Spirit is in us. He's with each and every one of us. He abides within us. What a tremendous age to live in. The Word of God is in you by His Holy Spirit. He's prompting. He's stirring within you. Just like praise stirs within you. Now God's Word is stirring in your spirit. You're one with God in the Spirit. So just as we talked about praise, now the word of God to be expressed has to percolate out through your body. So the word in your spirit has to come up through you into your mind so you begin to articulate those words because they're forming from what God's put in your spirit. The words aren't in your mouth. The words come to your spirit. Now I got to formulate the words to come out. And they come out through my emotions. And they come out through me. What does that mean? Are they 100% accurate? No. It started 100% accurate. Started in my spirit. But now, as I express those words up through my mind and will and emotions and through my vocabulary, because you see, when God speaks, he will be limited to your vocabulary. And if you have poor grammar in your normal speech, the prophetic word will come out grammatically improper. You might use phrases and words that are not grammatically correct, but that's okay. It's coming up through you. Coming up through your heart, through your spirit, out through you. And so now, not every word is 100%. It's not 100% pure. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 14:29. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. So now, there's a judging of prophecy. In the Old Testament, you weren't to judge prophecy. You only judged if it was right or wrong. If it's wrong, you dismiss that prophet. In fact, stone them. But now you're to judge prophecies. When they come out, you realize that originated in someone's spirit, but it came out through their language and their expression. I don't know whether I should tell you this or not, but I remember being in a setting and this young man was prophesying, and he was prophesying, but he sort of got mixed up. He started to quote a verse, and he got mixed up in the middle of the verse. And so as he's prophesying, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, I made a mistake." And then he started repeating the verse. Now you could say, "Well, that wasn't God. God doesn't make mistakes. How foolish that was." Or was it? It was coming up through his heart, his spirit, prompting the truth of that verse. But it came through his mind. He got mixed up in how the words came out. In his own fervor, he said, "I made a mistake." See, the Bible says, don't despise prophecy. Now, why would it say that? Because you could despise it. If you've been around the church enough and heard prophetic words, you could despise it and say, that wasn't God. That wasn't right. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't use poor language. Yeah, he does, because he's using that vessel. And now it's a whole different ball of wax. It's a whole new ball game. Because now we all have the spirit of prophecy. Now God's talking to our hearts and our spirits. So he cautions us and he says, "You know what? Now you need to judge that prophecy." And this is what else it says. 1 Corinthians 13:9. "For we know in part and we prophesy in part." This is not 100%. And you're not seeing the whole picture. You're just getting part of it. And you're prophesying in part. And so you're still to judge it. But how do you judge it? You judge it by God's word. Is it true to God's word? You judge it by, does my spirit witness with this? Not the outward, not the wrappings, not the husks. It's getting down to the kernel of the word that's spoken. And you say, what was in that that God wanted to speak to me? I remember, I was about 20 years ago, I was in a meeting. And this fellow was there, he was preaching, he had a prophetic gift. He was one of those wild and woolly ones and so forth. And I was just minding my own business sitting back in the auditorium. And he called me up. He said, come on up here. I got a word for you. And so I went up, went down the front. And so he started praying for me, and he was manhandling me, and he was really trying to push me over, and I was sort of bracing myself and stepping back, but he was intent that I was going to be slain out somehow, and he wrestled me to the ground. I remember just sort of, he overpowered me, pushed me down on the ground. He's prophesying over me as he's doing this, and so I'm thinking, well, you know what, I'll just lay here. And so he finished, and then he went on. He started prophesying for other people. And so after a bit, I thought, I was about here, and I thought, I'll get up. So I started to get up, but he spotted me getting up. He came over, he grabbed me by the shoulders, and he was speaking over me, and he wasn't going to let me up. So I just thought, all right, I'll just lay here a little longer. Now, was that God? I tell you what he said 20 years ago. He said God was going to take me to a new level. He said God was putting an anointing on me, and I was going to be a pastor to pastors. And he was going to give me great influence. I look back at it now, and that was a true word. I remember going from that service, and I was wise enough to know, you know, God wasn't trying to push me down. Maybe God was trying to shake me. I don't know. But it was his style. It was how he was manifesting it. But he had a legitimate word from the Lord. And I began to minister through Anchor Ministerial and be influential in the lives of pastors. Yesterday, we were on a Zoom call with 33 pastors, and I shared a word with them. You know what I shared? Get started. Get started. Just preach the first couple of messages here. At the end of that, I don't mean to say this, and I'm not trying to lift myself up, but, you know, after different pastors said in the discussion after, that word I needed, that encouragement, that's going to help our church. You know, that man saw that in a prophetic word 20 years ago. That I could have dismissed it. I could have just said, you know what, that's not God. But it was just in my heart, and I laid hold of that. And I said, Lord, if that's what you have for me, sure. I'm telling you, God wants us to speak words to people. And it will come out through your personality, through your style, your characteristics. Now, try not to do stuff that's distracting. And you know, and I've told pastors, you know, don't do that. That's distracting. But they, like, I mean, that's wisdom, and that's why pastors are pastors. And thank the Lord, my pastor's sitting here, Pastor Steve Fleming, visiting with us this morning. He's my pastor. He speaks into my life. When he says, Ken, I open my ears. God's placed him in my life. He's going to speak to me through him. And so we all need to be open to God's word. You should desire a word from the Lord. And when something is given to you, rather than, well, that's not right, or that's just his idea, he's wrong there, or she's wrong here, rather than just step back a moment and say, but God, what were you trying to say to me through this? And if you'll do that, God will speak to you. Same in a message. You know, you could hear a message. Hopefully I'm forth-telling. I'm speaking words to you that hopefully are from God. That's my desire. Maybe I miss it here or there at some point. You could sit and say, wow, he's wrong in that. I don't believe that. And miss all the parts that were inspired from God's Spirit for you. So we need to be open to receive, but even more so, be open to be used of the Lord. This is not just for a select group of people. Now listen, some people grow in their proficiency of the gift, that they are used and it becomes their prime ministry. Like the Bible says, he's put in the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. So there are offices, and there can be an office of a prophet because the person, his gift is so strong within him, it's the primary way they minister. And so there are people that I, when I go and hear them, I know I'm going to hear a prophetic word. This is someone that's recognized as a prophet in God. They have a track record. They have a proven accuracy in what they say, even though it's not 100%. So the proficiency shifts in time and in development. But don't exclude yourself by saying, well, I'm not a prophet. Neither the son of a prophet, as the Bible says. But but you have the spirit of prophecy. It's the testimony of Jesus. What does Jesus want to say to your neighbor? What does Jesus want to say to your workmate? What does Jesus want to say to your spouse? And carefully, at God's prompting, not of your own will, but when God's spirit moves within you, be able to say the words to people. And the Bible talks about going with a spirit of gentleness. Even when you go to correct someone, that's the word of God to correct. But Galatians 6:1 says, don't do this. You that are spiritual, go with a spirit of gentleness, recognizing that you also are tempted. God wants us to prophesy. He wants you to speak his word. Don't rule yourself out. I encourage you this morning, start prophesying. Start prophesying. What's the guidelines? And we'll finish with this verse. And I think we're about where we were the first service. 1 Corinthians 14:3. But he who prophesies speaks edification. Edification, what's that? It means to build up, to strengthen. He speaks edification. An exhortation, it's a word that encourages someone to do something. You exhort, like I'm exhorting you this morning through this prophetic word to start prophesying. So there, it's exhortation, it's edification, exhortation, and comfort. It's going to bring comfort to the person. It's going to encourage the person. They're down, they're discouraged. And there may be, as I said earlier, saying, God, I need to hear from you. And so you're in a service like this, and you're just prompted to give a word to someone. So maybe after the service, say, I was thinking about you in the service, and I just want to encourage you with this. And you say the word. See, you can start as gently as you want. If you have a very, very proficient gift of prophecy, you'll probably speak in the first person. Thus saith the Lord, I speak to you, and you speak in the first person. But not everyone speaks in the first person. I've done it a few times when I've really felt it strongly and I felt God prompt me. Most of the time it's the third person. I'll say to people, this is what I feel the Lord is saying to you. And this is what I think the word of God is for you right now. Then I speak it. But we all can do that. Wherever you are, wherever you're starting, start prophesying. Desire it. People need to be edified. They need to be exhorted. They need to be comforted. And we do this because we're the hands of Jesus. We're the mouth of Jesus. You need to start prophesying. You need to leave this place this morning with a desire that says, God, I want to be your spokesman. I want to speak your word. I want, Lord, let me have a clear heart to hear what you're saying to people. He'll speak to you. You think God doesn't want to talk to people? We're the bottleneck. Because we disqualify ourselves rather than just taking a step. It's always by faith. So, I'm not sure. Was that just me or was that God? Well, here's the thing. Ask yourself, Will this edify the person, build them up, strengthen them? Will this be an exhortation to encouragement? Will this comfort the person? Well, if it's within the guidelines, what's the harm? And you don't have to say, thus saith the Lord. Just say, you know, I feel this is what God would want to say to you. And you just say it. I'll guarantee you, and I've found this, I'll talk about this the next time as we finish this message off. God has prompted me to say things to someone that I have forgotten. And they'll come back a month or two later and say, that word that you spoke to me, do you remember? And I'll say, I'm sorry, I don't. Because it came in my heart in that moment just to speak to them. And I spoke it. And they'll say, that's exactly what I needed to hear. See, we all can function in that. That's the spirit of prophecy. I wish you all would prophesy, the Lord says. This is a spirit. You don't have to go to one particular person to hear it. No, you hear it in your own heart, but you also hear it through other people in the church. So I hope that you'll receive this word this morning. We'll go on in weeks to come and we'll finish this message because there's a lot of other good things I want to talk to you about prophecy and how you can be encouraged to begin to prophesy. Would you stand with me right now? What would happen if every one of us started to prophesy? The word of God would prolificate. It would just grow. It would be all around us. The word of God being spoken. You know what happened if we all did that? Gossip would cease. Judgmental words would just dissipate. Criticism would be gone. We just said, Lord, I want to speak your word. I want to be an oracle of God. I want to say what you're wanting me to say. You put a guard on your mouth. I don't want to speak my own thoughts. No, I'm a prophet. I'm speaking God's word. And so as you prayerfully speak, God's word just goes out, begins to change lives, encourage people. That's what I desire. Well, what if we all did that this morning? What if we all laid the hold of this and said, I'm going to start prophesying? If you feel that way, why don't you just lift your hand up and let me pray for us all? Lord, we stand before you this morning and we see this is in your word. That you poured out your spirit on all flesh and you want us to prophesy. I ask, Lord, you take away the reluctance from people. You would replace it with a hunger to speak your word. That we'd all prophesy in your name. That we would be a force for good to edify and encourage and to bring comfort. Lord, may we be prophets in the name of Jesus. Speak your word through us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's thank the Lord. Well, go have a coffee, fellowship, talk about these things, and keep prophesying. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.